This is Roots and Shoots, ABC Radio Perth's gardening podcast with new episodes twice a week. I'm Michael Tetlow. It's the gardening show for green thumbs and aspiring horticulturalists alike, and the wonderful Sabrina Hahn is here to answer all of your curly questions. Hi, Sab.
I know. I've missed you, Tet.
Oh, it hasn't been the same. I mean, look, it's been good to talk down the telephonic device.
Yeah, the cans with a piece of string connected.
No. Yeah, yeah.
Miss the little nuances, don't you?
You do. Yes, you do. You miss the nuances. The facial expressions. We know when something's funny because there's a raised eyebrow and all that.
Yeah, that's right.
Yes.
And when you're going to say something naughty and you turn around, so you don't.
Now, you were over there with the family and your two-year-old granddaughter. Yeah. Tell me about your granddaughter.
So she's a bit of a card, bit of a character. So as you know, because you heard me wrangling the dogs when a big mob of kangaroo came past. So the two border collies. And so Evie's grown up watching the border collies working the cattle. And so she's clicked on pretty quickly what you need to do, but she doesn't have the vocabulary yet, so she can't talk quite properly. So there's Dexter is the intelligent dog, and Ali just does whatever Ali wants to do. She just follows Dexter around, actually. So we sit up on the veranda and you overlook all the paddocks and things, and Dexter and Ali are down the back. And I'm going to move this away because I'll blow people's eardrums.
Okay.
So what she does is she has to have, when she's doing cattle work, she puts on, I bought her a little kitchen apron. We cook together. So she puts the apron on, stands on the back veranda, and she'll go, "Hey! And then she gets the arm, she goes, "Round, wound," which means get around, "wound, da-da, wound, wound."
Yeah, she knows how it's done.
And bugger me dead if Dexter doesn't do it.
Yeah,
it's
right.
Hilarious to watch because she's only two.
Yeah.
Da-da.
Oh, she's got a big future ahead of her. Get her on Mustard Dogs Junior. Oh, Sabrina.
Anyway.
That is great. Now, we're getting to veggie patch time, are we?
How marvellous was the weekend?
Oh, it was beautiful.
I was going to go out with my mate. We were going to go to the art gallery and do a bit of cultural stuff. Mm. And I rang her and I said, "I'm not leaving the garden. It's such a beautiful day." So I got stuck into the veggie garden, which was just weeds that were about a metre high throughout the whole. So I got stuck into that. And then I thought, "Oh, my Lord, I've still got spring onions and cabbages and the stuff was still growing in among the weeds."
Yeah, yeah.
So I thought, prime time, I'm going to pack it in. So I'm making use of what's there to grow other things in between and up them.
Okay.
So people don't realise they can double plant.
Yeah.
So I've got this three rows of spring onions and I thought, they won't be ready for probably another 4 weeks. So I put in rows of radish in between because the radish will be ready to harvest in 2 weeks.
Okay. Is that right?
Yep.
Radish grows that quickly. Wow.
Fast as. And I love fresh radishes.
Yeah.
Love it. And then in between the cabbages, because they're quite large, I've put in rainbow chard because by the time I harvest the cabbages, the rainbow chard will just be getting above them and it'll protect them from other things. And then they'll grow up once I cut the cabbages off.
Yeah.
So you can. Oh. And with corn, grow beans up your corn.
Yeah.
Nothing like a bean up your corn. Shove a little bean up your corn.
Look, there is nothing like it, Sabrina. And is this, it's now's the time just to plant these things?
Perfect.
Yep.
We're going to get some more rain. God, I hope we get more rain.
Yeah, we will. It's coming this week.
Yeah.
But, you know, last night I took my younger son to BMX practice.
Yeah.
And just as the sun was going down, I could feel the spring in the air.
A little hint. Well, after being in Wagga in the cold, I am never, ever going anywhere near where there's snow and ice ever in June, July ever again.
Yeah.
So I came back to Perth and people were saying, "Oh, it's wild and windy," and I'm going, Oh, this is heaven.
Beautiful weather.
Oh, gorgeous. But you're right. So the sun is getting up earlier in the morning, which I love. It's hooray for early sunrise. And you get that little hint of, oh, there's a little bit of warmth in the air.
Yeah.
So really go hard in the veggie patch over the next month. Like, pack it in.
All right. That's good advice from Sabrina. Frio Cooks has been in touch, Sabby. He was hot off the mark at 1 minute to two this afternoon. So I figured he's got a serious issue to deal with here. He says to the lovely Sabby, oh, you're not wrong there, Frio Cookster, how the devil do I get a proliferation of weeds out of a fake grass front verge? Trying to pull them out is nigh impossible.
Yep. Now, it is extraordinary because people don't think that you're going to get weeds in plastic grass, rubber and plastic grass. But, of course, seeds blow and they don't need much, especially if we've had rain. So for you, Mr. Cookie here, he's going to have to get an organic spray that's pelargonic acid because it won't harm anything else and it certainly won't kill your fake lawn and spray the weed and it will die and it won't come back.
Yeah.
So
the fake lawn, that was all the rage for a brief period of time. It's not now, is it?
Well, it was marketed as, drought tolerant, an environmental blessing because you didn't need water. But, of course, it is really hot.
Yeah, raises the temperature by about 10 degrees.
So not that good for the environment. And also to dispose of it, it does not break down.
Yeah.
So... Yeah. Thumbs down.
Yeah, and the dogs do their wee-wee on it, their business on it.
I know.
And it doesn't regrow. It doesn't grow all the bacteria out. It just sits there.
Disgusting. I've seen some people go out and they vacuum their... That looks really weird. I've done some wacko things, Tits, but...
But vacuuming your fake lawn, not one of them. All right. Let's get one more text before the headline, Sabby. Geraldine from Darkin. Says, some advice, please, Sab, on how much to prune off my...
Weigelas.
Yeah, they're 2 years old. They look great in spring, early summer. Not so right now.
Oh, they're not looking... Yeah. Oh, because they're dormant. Okay, so the thing about weigelas is they flower early spring. So if you prune them now, you're going to spring off all your... You spring off? You're going to spring off all your prune flowers.
Yeah.
You'll prune off all your spring flowers. So the best time to do it is when they finish flowering at the end of spring.
Okay.
Because you want the new growth to harden up before we get our glorious summers.
Yes. Sabrina, there aren't many Hans in WA, are there?
No. And when I first arrived 46 years ago, there is only one other Han, and I actually rang him.
Right.
Because in those days you had a telephone.
You did. Yeah,
along with your street director.
Yeah, yeah.
And he had no relatives that he knew of in New South Wales, because we're from New South Wales, or originally Harndorf, South Australia.
Mm.
So I had no relatives here, and he didn't know any of my family.
Right. I wonder if that's the same Han, because I had a teacher, year seven teacher who was a Marie Han.
Right.
And I saw her in the local paper some years ago. It wasn't that long ago, maybe 10 years ago.
Yeah.
And she'd won some award for her garden.
Oh.
So she was a gardener. So I was putting two and two together the other day and wondering if this was a relation of yours.
No, I don't know any Marie Han.
Marie Han, primary school teacher at Wanneroo she was.
Ah, okay.
If you're listening, Marie, give us a buzz.
And I'd like to meet you because... Yeah. She's a gardener like myself.
That's right.
It must be a harm thing.
It must be. Steve is in Frio. G'day, Steve.
Good afternoon to both of you.
Afternoon.
Thanks for taking my call. I've got a buffalo lawn and the oxalis and the winter grass has kicked in really good with the rains.
Yep.
I went out to the big box store and got myself some Scott's Bindi and weed killer.
Yeah.
But they don't seem to be doing much other than making the clover look a little bit odd.
Yeah. Now, what you are better off doing, Steve, is getting the clover killer. So there's a winter grass killer, which doesn't work very well. So its active constituent is DCPA. That doesn't really work. I think they just give you that to give you some false hope. But you can get clover killer. So really, you know, with winter grass, just mow it, I find, works.
Yeah.
Just keep it cut. But you can get – now, I never had a thing against clover, Tets, until I had to weed my veggie garden and the bloody clover, because it has these little runners underneath, doesn't it, Steve?
Yeah, yeah,
and it's
yeah.
a mongrel to pull out. So yeah. Go and get yourself some clover. It's a selective clover killer.
Is there a brand name?
There is, but I can't give you that, Steve.
Because, oh, okay.
Because we're the ABC. We're the ABC.
The initial letter?
Well, there's three different ones and three different companies make them, and it will have written on the bottle for controlling clover. You can't miss it, Steve, honest.
The active ingredient?
I can't. Well, there's a few different ones, and they're very long chemical names that I can't remember. But it will have on the front of the bottle for controlling clover.
And that'll do oxalis too.
Yep, absolutely.
Thank you very much.
My pleasure, Stephen. Good luck.
Good on you, Steve. Good luck with that. Millsy's been on the text line. Sabrina sees Hans all the time down at the bottle shop. Yeah, he does.
It used to be made in Germany. When I first came to WA, you could get real Hahn beer, which was the German beer. Of course, far superior.
Yeah.
And then it got bought out, and then it got re-bought out, and then it got bought out again. So...
And now it gets brewed under license somewhere, wherever the cheapest brewery is.
Yep, that's right. Yep, probably China. so it has changed very much. But, you know, the good thing about travel is you get to drink beer from every country and it's all different.
You do. I went the other day because it's 20 years, Sabrina, since I moved to London. I moved to London on the 13th of July, 2004.
Wow.
And so on the 13th of July, I thought I need to mark this occasion. So I went down to the bottle shop and I thought I'm going to get myself a beer that I used to drink. So I went to the English beer section and I'm looking around. Lo and behold, what do I find? Double chocolate stout from Young's Brewery. And I lived just down the road from Young's Brewery. So I bought it and went home and drank it.
And so what, it's a really, I presume it's a very thick.
It's a very thick stout.
Yeah.
I actually, my girlfriend at the time worked there at the brewery.
Okay.
And it said on the label chocolate, and under British law, it needed to have chocolate.
Oh, you were
actual chocolate. So what they used to do is go across the road to Sainsbury's, buy a block of chocolate and chuck it into the vat.
Now, that's ingenuity for you.
It is.
I can't imagine having chocolate in stout. Remember in the olden days when they – because I was in England, and when you got a pint of stout, it would take like 10 minutes to pour.
Yeah.
Because you had to wait for it to settle and then fill it and wait for it to settle and fill it and wait for it to settle. And when I had my first child 43 years ago – they gave you two little bottles of stout with your evening meal.
Did they?
Yep. They were ahead of their time.
They were the days.
I tell you what. And that was that was meant to be very good for mother's milk.
Right.
Bugger the milk. It was really good for mother's
milk. Good
happiness.
For mum. That's right. All right. Let's go to Sue in Woodbridge. Hello, Sue.
Hello.
G'day. What's your question for Sabrina?
I was given a seed-grown mango tree.
Yeah.
And it was looking very healthy, but I thought it's time to pot it up into a next size pot. And I put it in with all the good potting mix, and it's just gradually dying.
So now, when did you repot it, Sue?
Probably 3 weeks, 4 weeks ago.
Therein lies the problem, because your mango tree is a warm climate plant, doesn't like being fiddled with during the winter months. Now, don't worry, Sue, because as soon as the weather starts warming up and we get, you know, some sunlight and a bit of warmth, it will come back. I don't think, I don't think that you need to be concerned. But for your future, never prune mango trees in winter, never repot them in winter. In winter, in winter, you just go and you say, it'll be okay. Just hang in there. Give us a couple of months and you'll be happy again.
Oh, okay. Phew.
Don't lose sleep, favourites.
Good on you, Sue. Thanks for calling in. Jen and Albany's texted in, Sabrina, that double chocolate stout, one of her favourites, she says.
Is that right?
Yeah.
I must have to try it.
I'll bring some in for you one day, Sabby.
What could you do? We could have it here.
We can have a little bit. That's okay.
But sometimes on Saturday morning breakfast at Roots and Shoots, when it's someone's birthday,
yes.
Sometimes you just find bottles of stuff laying about the place.
That's right.
Seems a shame not to bring them in.
Look, it is an absolute shame. Meg's in Melville. G'day, Meg.
Hi.
Hello, Meg.
I think you may have just answered my question.
Ah.
I've got all these natives in pots that I want to, I'm dying to put in the ground. The ground's ready.
Yep.
I'm ready.
Yep.
When can I put them in?
Now. Natives are very different. No, natives are very different to tropical plants. So now is the very best time to put your native plants in.
Well, I know what I'm going to do in the next half hour and following hours.
You are a champion.
That's great.
Fantastic.
Oh, terrific. I just thought it was too cold. That's brilliant.
All right, then.
Thank you.
My pleasure. Okay.
If you've got a question for Sabrina. Yes.
Just before you go we've got Andy, who lives in Dunkers.
Yes.
Not happy with my comment about...
He is not.
We like to tell both sides of a story.
We do. So let's hear Andy's side.
So Andy said, Sabrina, lay off our fake lawn. So he's taken a picture of his magnificent trees that cost $5,000 to trim. You got the wrong... arborist, mate. But anyway.
That is a magnificent tree.
We're not all environmental philistines. We just choose what we put our energy and time and money into. This fake lawn and the real lawn in the distance have been down for over 12 years. Don't be a zealot all your life. Promise not to. I tried not
yes,
to be
Sabrina.
A zealot all my life.
Well, I can't see the fake lawn in that photo.
Well,
it must be very high quality because
it must
looks
be
the
around
same.
The tree. So the tree is a beautiful red gum and there's a magnificent grass tree next to it. I still stand by my high and mighty grounds saying that they reflect a lot of heat back into the environment, and rather than fake lawn, you're probably better off with native ground covers and mulch.
Mm.
But I hear what you're saying, Andy, in Dunkers.
Yeah, look at his grass tree. Look at this.
Yeah,
magnificent.
It's huge.
Yeah.
Well done, Andy.
Yeah, I've met Andy.
Oh, have you?
He came down and said g'day when we did the camping outside broadcast.
Oh, did he?
Yeah.
Oh, all right.
Yeah, he's a good bloke. He drives a smart car.
Won't stab me to death?
No, he won't.
Okay.
No, no, no.
That's all we worry about.
He's good. He just wants you to leave his fake lawn alone, all right?
I will. Promise. Yeah. No, I won't go dissing your lawn.
All right. Nick's texted in. He reckons, hey, guys, the Samuel Smith organic chocolate stout is better than the Young's version. He reckons it's good with Christmas pudding.
I can see I'm just going to have to expand my repertoire of stout.
I think so. All right, Bryce in Inglewood. Hello, Bryce.
Yes, good afternoon. My question is, our council very generously has given us a verge tree.
Yeah.
Now, I say tree, it's about a metre high and the trunk is about the thickness of a pencil.
Yeah.
And I believe it's a red flowering gum. Now, I want to know what I can do to, you know, give it a bit of extra love so it'll grow quicker.
Oh, you are a champion, my friend.
Thanks.
We love it when people adopt their free verge tree that they've been given. Okay, so... come spring, Bryce, I want you to give it some wetting agent and just sprinkle a little bit of compost around the top and a slow-release fertiliser that's got iron and manganese in it.
Okay.
So that's in spring. And then in
just
summer...
in spring, that's all I need to do?
No, and then at the end of summer, fertilise it again. But during the summer, if you can take even one laundry bucket of water a fortnight and give it water, it will thrive and do beautifully.
Well, it's in the middle of lawn, so it does get lawn reticulation. Would that
perfect.
Be okay?
That is absolutely right. Sensational. Be very careful what lawn fertiliser you use, Bryce.
Okay.
So you want any fertiliser that you use, you want to make sure that the phosphorus isn't any more than 1%.
Oh, righto. So the phosphorus is no good for the tree?
The phosphorus is no good for most natives, particularly anything in the Proteaceae family. But your Corymbia physifolia won't need it, but it will need iron, magnesium, manganese, those sorts of things.
All right. I'll look into that. Thank you so much.
Okay. Thanks, Bryce.
All right. Good on you, Bryce. Thanks so much for getting in touch. And, hey, here we go. Helen's texted in.
Yep.
To say Kalgoorlie Stout was the breast milk support of choice my firstborn 40-odd years ago.
Yep. I had Kalgoorlie Stout. That's what I was given.
Yeah, right. She says there's a zero stout on the market that's about the only non-alcoholic drink on the market that actually tastes like the real stuff.
Yeah, I wouldn't bother myself. But I remember the Kalgoorlie Stout.
Yeah.
Dark and stormy. Remember those drinks, dark and stormy.
Dark and stormy. All right, let's hit the phones again. Lianne is in Jeremunga. Hello, Lianne.
Hi, how you going?
Yeah, good.
Good. Hey, Sabrina.
Yes, hi.
How you going? Just got a quick question. I have sprouted true avocado seeds back in started in October last year. They finally got probably about, I don't know, 300 mil tall.
Yeah.
Am I safe enough now that they've got like quite a good root system in the glass to plant and pot?
Yep.
I'm not expecting avocados of them or anything in the next couple of months or anything, but what's your suggestion?
Yep. So you need to get those into pots as soon as you can.
Okay.
Pot them up. Now, don't put them in a pot that's too big. They like to be snug.
Okay.
And then keep it in that pot until we start getting, so you probably need to keep them in that pot until good roots develop. Sort of right through to the end of this summer, I reckon, Lianne. Okay.
Oh, Roger. Yep. No, easy done.
Yep.
But so hopefully, yeah, no, they look pretty good now. It took so long to get to this stage, so I don't want to kill them now.
No. They do very well in a pot, Lianne. You won't have any problems.
No, thank you for that. Awesome. I'll do that probably on the weekend.
Okay, beautiful.
Good on you, Lianne. Thanks for ringing in. All right, Chaubert and Winthrop's been waiting patiently. Hello, Chaubert.
Good afternoon, everyone. I have a question about pomegranate.
Yeah.
So 2 years ago, we planted this pomegranate tree. It was relatively young, but it had three fruits on it. Mm-hmm. So everything was going well until suddenly the fruits themselves, there was some cracks on the fruits, and then the cracks got wide open, and the fruit wasn't good anymore when we picked them up.
Right.
So I wanted to know what is the reason for these fruits to get cracked. What are we doing wrong with pomegranate? Because first of all, we love the pomegranate, and second, we have been told it's easy to maintain and basically immune to many local, a disease and stuff.
Yeah, okay. So now pomegranates are usually pretty well pest and disease resistant. So they can get insect attack in the bottom of the fruit in the very, very early stages, and then you get a fungal rot going in. So at this time of the year, Chaubert, I would be giving, is it all completely dormant now? No leaves, nothing on it?
There are some leaves, but they are yellowish leaves. Okay. They are not like fresh ones. Yep.
Okay, so what you need to do now is you need to give that tree a liquid copper spray.
Liquid copper.
Yep. So you mix it with water and you spray the entire tree. So that will help to prevent fungal diseases coming later on in the year.
Perfect. Liquid copper. Okay.
Yep.
Okay.
And you only need to do it once, Chaubert.
Once a year.
Yep. in winter.
All right. Good on your show, Bear. Thanks for calling in. 1300 222 720. Haven't heard of anyone knowing Marie Hahn, the gardener.
No.
Who was a teacher at Wanneroo Primary School.
I wonder if there's other people that know her that know where she lives.
Yeah.
She can come to my garden and I'll go to hers.
Yeah. Well, look. Exactly.
We'll invite you, Tets.
And I'll come around.
We'll have a stout.
We'll have a stout.
Tasting.
Yeah.
Ceremony.
I'll bring the stout. Christo is on the phone from Oakford. Hi, Christo.
G'day, g'day. I've got a question that's completely stumped me and everyone I've asked so far regarding some interaction between frangipanis and honeybees.
Yeah.
I've got two frangipanis out the back of my block, and there's a wild hive in the neighbour's tree. And come spring, there's a flurry of activity from the bees around the frangipani's growth tips, both flower tips as well as new leaf shoots.
Right.
To the naked eye, it looks like the bees are munching into the soft tips and causing damage. Now, every answer that I've had so far, it tells me that bees don't bite plants, but my eyes tell me different. So I'll keep asking the question. The bees are definitely collecting some of the white sap residue and putting it in their pollen pockets and carrying it off.
Now,
but my frangipanis are looking pretty sad.
Okay.
Do you have anything?
So the other thing that can be, Christo, when the buds first emerge from a frangipani, sometimes they get a very, very small insect and the insect secretes honeydew. So the bees may be able to detect the honey, the liquid form of the honeydew, and they're coming for that, not necessarily chewing the leaves, but coming in and because they don't have chewing mouth parts. That's the thing. But if you've got enough bees on the one shoot, then maybe that could affect the growth tips, but I doubt it very much. I don't know. That's a real mystery. But I can't see the bees having a detrimental effect on the growth of your frangipani. That's what I'm saying.
Well, something is.
Okay.
It's pretty sad throughout summer that it's so bad that the flowers can't form.
Right.
It's just this white, munted growth tip.
Okay. I reckon you've got a problem with some soft-bodied scale. And that's – now, the thing is, to control the insect, you need to spray your tree when the bees are not active. Okay, so you need to get an oil-based spray and you need to put it on the tips of all the new growth now before they emerge and unfurl. But you need to do it either very early in the morning or late in the afternoon when the bees aren't actually on the flowers.
Okay. So at the moment, the rain's washed off all evidence of the white residue that the bees come for. Would I be able to sight these insects or are they going to be microscopic?
I reckon the eggs, you can't see the eggs, and I reckon you've got either cottony cushion scale or mealybug, but you've got juvenile forms. You can't see them. The eggs will still be there. So you need to spray with an oil. And then you need to respray in 2 weeks' time to kill the life cycle of those sap suckers.
All right, Christo. Give it a go. Sabrina, Christine's been in touch on the text line. Says, years ago I was diagnosed with anemia. The doctor recommended stout for its B vitamins. Still drinking stout, not going back for a second.
See how educational gardening programs
exactly.
can be.
Exactly, yes, indeed.
We go far and wide. We go well beyond the topic of just gardens.
We certainly do. Sabrina, thank you.
Thanks for listening.
You can join us live on Tuesdays from 2:30 p.m.
Head to abc.net.au/Perth or listen to ABC Perth on DAB or 7:20 a.m.
Text your questions in on 0437 922 720.
Or better still, call us in the studio, 1300 222 720. Roots and Shoots will be back on the weekend to answer more of your gardening questions. Don't forget to give us a 5-star rating on your favourite podcast player.
And share the episode with all your friends.